Come on, everybody, let's stand.
Awake, my soul. My soul, rise up from your sleep. Do not slumber or sleep anymore. Raise your weary head to a new day. Lift your shout, let your voice be heard.
Shout to the Lord.
We bless you, Father, this morning. We rejoice we can just come into your presence. Thank you, Father.
And no.
and meeting with you.
Carry me higher, carry me. wanna go deeper. I've gotta draw closer. I've gotta draw closer. I've gotta draw closer.
Father, this morning we thank you that we can come into your presence. We thank you, Father, that we can just come and be with you. And we thank you, Lord, this isn't a religious experience, it's an intimate relationship. And Father, thank you that as we draw closer, you take us deeper into your love. Father, we've come this morning with various concerns and issues and problems and anxieties. As we get closer to you, help us to put them at your feet and allow you to take over. So Father, this morning as we worship, as we praise, be exalted, be honored. But Father, come and meet with each one of us. For your glory's sake, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. I went home the other night and it was really late. And when I got home, the curtains were drawn. But thankfully, the rest of the furniture was real. And someone stole my sofa. But they managed to recover it. And then my wife said to me that I never buy her flowers. And I said, well, I don't know you sold flowers. And, you know, I had a previous job. I used to be a mime artist, but I've kept it quiet. Good morning, everybody. Some of you know I hate cooking. I thought I'd take up baking. I thought it'd be hard, but in fact it's a piece of cake. Here's the notices. You're sitting here. Warm Hub, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You've got to really be praying about this. Things are happening. We had a couple come in on Wednesday. And the first thing they said was they apologised they couldn't come on Thursday. Incredible. And Friday, we had a blast on Friday. A couple of times I came in here just to see what was going on. And you could have gone into a cafe somewhere. Everyone was talking. Wasn't it buzzy? It was buzzing and chatting and so on. He thought, this is brilliant. And people again are sharing problems and so on. So do pray about the Warm Hub, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 9 to 1. If you're passing or if you're around, do come in. Because you never know what's going to happen. Don't get excited now. Just, you know, calm. God's up to something. And I love it when God's up to something, don't you? So that's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Do pray also about the food bank. We really are trying to make it as good as possible. Had a meeting with the trustees on Friday. And we're going to try and see if we can pilot so that once a month we give them all a roast dinner. A ready meal roast dinner for every client. Just to try and bless them a little bit. We haven't got to cook it, Chris. Don't worry. Chris's face, she went white then. Not cooking it, but giving every family a frozen meal for each person. And they can have a choice of different dinners, just to try and give them more choice. What we're trying to do, one of the objectives of that we're aiming for, is that for many of them it's a humiliation to have to come and beg for food. But if we can make it more like a shopping experience, and take away the shame and make it something that's enjoyable, something that blesses them, then that's what we want to do. So pray about food bank. Because a number of times people come up and chat to us about really personal and deep issues because they've got no one to talk to. You know, One came in this week and was talking to us and was telling us that he's got, effectively, he's either got an oven or one ring on the cooker. But if he has both on, it blows the fuse. So he can either put something in the oven or put something on the one hot plate that works. He can't have both. And it's been like that for 3 years, and he's got a severely handicapped wife, and he's having to cope like that. We've got to do more. So keep praying for the food bank. Prayer meeting on Monday between 2 and 4. Please come if you can. We need to really lay hold of God. He's up to something. I want to be part of it. Life group Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. If any of you haven't been to life group on Wednesday, may I just warn you that certain members, no names, no pack drill, Chris and Rosie, behave very poorly. And if others would come and bring a little bit of discipline, that would be excellent, because they do misbehave. Sue's all right, but these two. And by the way, we have found it on the Wednesday group that Sally loves Scampi. Sally's obsessed with Scampi. So, I mean, I don't know what we're studying, but anyway. There you are, you see. Life group on Thursdays. Is it on? Life group will be on Thursday afternoon at Maggie and Jeff's. This Friday, by the way, at Food Bank, we're calling it the Winter Warmer Day, and we're going to be giving out mulled wine and hot sausage rolls. So do you pray for that, something different? And keep in mind the date, February the 11th, because that's when we'll be having a breakfast for Sierra Leone. That's February the 11th. All right? That's it. That was painless, wasn't it, this morning? John's not sure. If you've got a Bible, I'd invite you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water, let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Simon said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled up their boats onto shore, left everything, and followed him. We'll look at that in a minute or two. I'm fascinated that we sang a song a few minutes ago about dancing, and we've got various people in the church who danced, and yet none of them moved. Not looking at anyone in particular. But it's interesting how you can go to a concert and people dance and sing and scream. You go to a football match and the fans are waving and dancing. And we come into the presence of God and we're very serious. And isn't it interesting that people get more excited about a man putting a pigskin in a net than he does about coming into the presence of the God who saved him? Isn't that interesting? Just something to think about. You know, we're coming into the presence of a Father God who loved us so much. Loved us so much. He gave His Son. It's almost beyond our imagination, that, isn't it? You could love me that much. I've told you before the story of the man who's on a sailing boat with his two boys, and a storm blew up and blew the boat over. And the man pulled himself up onto the upturned hull of the boat, and he saw the two boys. And he had a rope, and he knew he could save one. But he knew that one of the boys wasn't saved. So he called out to his son, "Son, I love you more than you'll ever know." And threw the rope to the other boy. And his son was lost. His story was told in church, and someone came up to the minister afterwards and said, "That's a nice story, but it's not true, is it?" And the minister said, "Oh, it is." He said, "How do you know?" He said, "I was the boy." We've got to... That helps us to understand how much God loved us. That when we were drowning, we were in sin. God threw the rope to us at the cost of His Son. And when we come into His presence, not with prayer requests, not with things we've got to do. He loves us just to come into His presence and say, "Father, I love you." Look into His face and say, "I love you." And let Him say, "I love you." Because sometimes we're so busy telling God stuff, we don't stop and listen. And let God say, "I love you too." So we're going to spend some time worshipping. I'll invite you to stand for the first song. After that, stand, sit, kneel, roll about on the floor, whatever is right for you, before God. But this song just says, "More love, more power, more of you in my life." That's a prayer. Let's stand together. Thank you, Graham. Come and know my love. Come. Come and know me. Come and let me heal you. Come. emotion, as an image, hold it up to God. The hurts you've come in with, the rejection, the failure, the nasty things that have happened, the things that have hurt you. Just begin to hold them up to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, move over me. Take this burden and give it to Him. Hold it up to Him and say, take this burden. Not your identity anymore. Spoken over you is not true and it's not of God. The lies that you've carried, the hurt that was done, is not you. It's what the enemy has dumped on you. Your identity is in Christ, and that is to be healed and restored. Those things you carry that hurt you. And begin to say, they're not true. So I'm not going to carry them anymore. The rejection, the accusations, the blame, they're not true. They're not true. And you need to start to embrace the Holy Spirit and almost speak into your heart and say, that lie that's been spoken over me is not true. The times when you felt unworthy, when people have pointed the fingers and said you're a failure or you're rubbish and this, it's not true. Let the Holy Spirit as you hold up these lies to the Spirit, let Him deal with them and give you a new sense of His presence and His intimacy. Holy Spirit, fall on us now. Holy Spirit, fall on us now. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit,
I'm not afraid.
Holy Spirit, as a church, we invite you. We give you permission to take over. Rain down on us. Soak into every part of our being, that we may be your people. The bride prepared. The church that is ready. Holy Spirit, just keep raining down, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. More of the Holy Spirit, that's scary, isn't it? Because he takes over and does amazing things. Don't you love it when the Holy Spirit takes over? Well, some of us think so. The passage we read, Jesus is teaching and the crowds have come to Jesus. And he's teaching them. And because there's so many people, he gets in his boat and he goes a little bit away from the shore. And he's preaching. It does make you wonder, doesn't it? Sometimes we struggle to get up in time or to get to church on time because it might be raining and what have you. And these people run to a seashore. They wouldn't have been nice, pretty benches. But they just had to hear Jesus. And Jesus is preaching. And then suddenly he turns to Peter, Simon Peter, and he says, let's go out a bit further. And put your nets down. And Peter says, Lord, all due respect, I don't know anything about preaching. And I don't know much about nuclear science. But I do know about fishing. And we have fished all night and caught nothing. And you can imagine him saying, on this issue, I know what I'm talking about. I tell you what, I don't like fishing. I once went river fishing. Anyone here done river fishing? Yeah. Well, that's stupid. I couldn't catch a river no matter how much I tried. Anyway, I went river fishing. And this bloke says to me, come with me, we'll fish for the day, it'll be exciting. Hours. And guess what we caught? Nothing. And I kept thinking, it's going to get exciting in a minute. No, thank you. Peter, go fishing. Peter says, Lord, I've done it all night. And you see, this is what happens in church. Because Jesus comes along and says, church, this is what I want you to do. And we say, Lord, it's a long time since you were walking on earth. We have tried. We know best. That won't work here. We tried that, Lord. We did it 10 years ago. Nothing happened. And Jesus says, put down your nets again. And we say, Lord, we know best. You may think you know, but we're living here and we know it's not gonna work. You see, they're tired. They've been fishing all night. They're worn out. They were washing their nets, so the nets are going to be wet. And heavy, thump. And Peter says, really? All right, because it's you, I'll do it. And at that moment, Simon Peter has stepped beyond what most churches will go to. Because he says, because it's you, I'll do it. And how many of us say, been there, done it, got the t-shirt? But this time it's not what we know, it's what we don't know. Peter, I know where to fish. I know how to fish. My father-in-law used to go fishing on the lake. And he used to go trout fishing on the lake. And it's quite interesting, perhaps. Because at least in the boat you can see the scenery of the mountain. So you're on the lake and he lets this line that goes all the way down to the bottom of the lake. And off the line at various times are the lines with hooks on. So whichever level the fish are, you catch a fish. That sounds good, doesn't it? And when the fish bites, there's a little bell that rings and you wind it in and see which line it's on and there's your trout. Marvellous. So we're going along one day and I said to him, do you ever catch fish on more than one line? He said, no, it never happens. I said, why? He said, because the shoal of fish will always be at one level depending on the water temperature or another. I said, oh, okay. And immediately the bell rang. Bing, bing, bing. So he winds in on the second line, beautiful trout. On the third line, another beautiful trout. On the fifth line, another beautiful trout. Having just told me 2 minutes earlier, that never happens. I had it last year. Not fishing, I went out to look at the owl boxes and Andy and Sue came with me. And I said, normally with a tawny owl, you get 2 eggs. Occasionally you'll get 3. And they said, you ever see more than that? I said, no. First box with tawny owls in, 4 eggs. That was alright. Got away with that one. Last box we looked at, 6 eggs. You see, it's not necessarily what we know. Because what we know gets in the way of what Jesus wants to do. Moses had it. Moses once struck the rock. The next time God says to him, speak to the rock. Moses says, it's okay, God. I got this. I know what to do. And the fact what he knew got in the way of what God wanted to do caused Moses never to get into the promised land. So perhaps sometimes we need to stop knowing what we know and keep listening. So they throw the nets over. In one of the other Gospels it says they caught 156 fish. Do you know why that's exciting? Do you know why 156? Anyone? Because they caught 156 fish. There's nothing more than, this is how many fish we caught. If you went out fishing, John's gone out, John, I know he's got a little pond in the garden with some fish in it, haven't you? Well, if John sits outside in the garden with his rod and line, he might catch a few fish, and Pat will say, how many did you catch? You'll say, 6. Said, how many are there? 6. But if he comes in and says, you're never going to believe this, I've caught 156 fish. They're going to go, wow, they didn't work out whether it was spiritually because there were 12 disciples and there were 4 days of the week. And I've heard all sorts of arguments. There were so many fish, they could not cope. They got the other boat, come and give us a hand. And they're piling all these fish into the 2 boats. And Peter says, well, this is a God of the supernatural. You're too much for me. Keep away. Jesus said, don't be scared. Because what you're going to experience is going to blow your mind. Come and follow me. And Peter takes the boat, puts it on the shore, and off he goes. That's exciting, isn't it? Is that a message for our church, do you think? That perhaps if we stop knowing and we start believing, something will happen. See, I know I'm a fool. And if someone says to me, What do you? I'm a nutter. I'm a fool. But what if I stop knowing and I trust that Jesus might be able to use this fool to make something happen? What if I stop knowing and I start believing? What if the words that have been spoken over us were in fact lies? Because the enemy is a liar, isn't he? Anyone heard that? Yeah, we sure? Because some of you are not quite, your head's sort of going diagonally, just in case it's a trick question. The enemy's a liar. We've listened to lies that have been spoken over us. You can't do that. You're useless. You're rubbish. You're this. You're that. How about we stop listening to what we, inverted commas, know, and we start listening to what he knows? It's getting a bit radical, Peter. Get back to your notes, quick. All right, I'll go back to my notes. Here we go. So what does he want us to know? Can you imagine what it's like as a fisherman? Time of Jesus, fishermen were the poorest of the poor. They were the thickheads. They were only good for one thing, fishing. Can you imagine you go out fishing, catch some fish, sit by the seashore, you sell some fish, you go home, you say to your wife and kids, it's okay guys, we've got money to eat today. Not that you eat the money, you use the money to buy food. Don't be technical. The next day you don't catch any fish. So your wife and kids said, what have you got? We haven't got anything. Why not? Well, we didn't catch any fish. Well, did you work hard? I worked all night. You sure you went down the pub? No, I worked all night. Next day he goes out fishing. Kids say, catch something, Dad, we're hungry. Come back in the morning, what'd you catch? I only caught one little one. Threw it back. But Dad, we're hungry. Sorry, nothing for you. That's the life of a fisherman. So when Jesus comes along and says, throw your net deeper. That's hard. And do you know what God is saying to us as a church? It's time we went deeper. You see, in the shallows is easy. Sue was telling us this morning that yesterday you went in the sea again. Wasn't that right? Oh. I was talking to one of my neighbours about you, Sue, because he does windsurfing and what have you all year round, but he's got all the gear, the warm stuff. And I said, you're not hardcore. I've got a lady in my church that's hardcore. She just goes in her cozy. And he's like, speaking, mate. But I know, right? I get eczema. And I have to tell you that salt water and eczema don't go well together. Just let you know that. And there's a part of my anatomy that when the salt water hits that part of my anatomy, it's a... And that wasn't tongues, by the way. But if I'm going to swim, I've got to go deeper. Because in the shallows is easy. We took our youth club once. Midnight swim on New Year's Eve. 30 kids in the sea. But the rule was they had to swim a stroke. I'm not having any of this malarkey where you stand with just your feet in the water. If you're going to do it, you're in for it. And God is calling us and saying, are you ready to go deeper? To lose control and rely totally on him. That's scary, isn't it? Because all the time the water's shallow, you can take a step back, can't you? But once you're out in the deep, once you're out of your depth, out of your control, out of what you know, then you're relying. You rely as a swimmer on the water giving you enough lift. And spiritually, God is calling us and saying, will you have the courage to go deeper? Will you have the courage to go beyond what you know and allow the Holy Spirit to take you deeper? You see, for many people, fishing is how church has been. You have brief periods of success. And most Christians say, oh, I remember when. And they'll go back 20, 30 years. Do you remember when so-and-so got saved? Do you remember when my son got healed? Do you remember? And we're looking back, often a long way, because the times of blessing are rare. That's the job of a fisherman. You know, if every time you went, you go, caught a fish, it'd be boring, wouldn't it? But they live for the big catch. They live for the, you want to see the size of fish I caught today. Whatever. But when they catch a fish, they'll talk about it for months and months and years and years. I remember I caught this fish and it was, and each time they tell the story, the fish gets a bit bigger, doesn't it? And so you look back with fond memories to the time you caught the fish. And you don't realise that 10, 15, maybe 20 years have gone by and you've missed all that time hanging on to what you saw happen ago. And God comes to the church and he says, it's time you go deeper. And you say, but doing it the way we do it has worked. I remember when. And God says, remembering when is no good. It's a now experience God wants us to have. It's a now when we're going to be overwhelmed with what God's going to do. It's not just a one-off experience. It's a lifelong process of growth. And God is saying, if you want that, you've got to go deeper. You can't stay in the shallows and experience the fullness of what God has for you. And the church said, yeah, but God, it worked. Therefore, it's okay. It worked. We did this and it was okay. We did that and it was okay. But God doesn't want okay anymore. God wants you deeper. Scared? Yeah. Terrified? Yeah. Excited? Yeah. God says, come on, come a bit deeper. Come on, a bit deeper. I've told you before, I used to do it with my mum. My mum had two artificial knees and one hadn't gone very well. And my mum used to go swimming. And I can demonstrate on dry land how my mum used to swim. And she would hop. And she would go from one side of the swimming pool to the other and say, look, I'm swimming. And I'd get my mum to lay on her back and I would take her deeper. And she said, you're not going to take me out of my depth, are you? I said, no, Mum, I wouldn't do that. I said, there you go, Mum. And she'd say, you rotten. Because she was out of her depth now. Now she was swimming. And for some of us, God needs to take hold of us and say, come on, I need you to go deeper. I need you to go into the deep water. I need you to go into the deeper things of the Holy Spirit. Okay. But, look at what Simon says. He says, we've been up all night fishing. We're worn out. Anyone here worn out? Yeah? We're tired. Yeah? And we didn't catch anything. We've lost our hope for today. We've lost our belief for today. We don't believe it. If they had believed the fish were there, they'd have gone and got them. But there's a point in the morning when they're sitting there and one of them would have said to the other, you know what? This isn't working today. Let's go home. And the other might have said, let's just try one more time. Nothing. Let's go home. So they're carrying failure. They're carrying tiredness. They're carrying despair. And Jesus says, go one more time. And everything in Peter's being says, no! Don't you get it? I'm tired, I'm fed up, I'm hungry, I'm... Jesus said, just have one more go. Just go a bit deeper. How many Christians live their lives and they've never had what they were promised? And church has given them so much and no more, and they've said, but Lord, you promised more. You promised miracles and prophecies and healings, and we haven't seen that in the way that you promised it. And we've worked and we've struggled and we've battled and we've done everything and nothing's happened. And it's incredibly difficult when God then says, go deeper. Yeah, but we're carrying all the failure, all the things that haven't worked. God says, I know. Go deeper. That's hard, isn't it? Hard. Because I'm worn out. I haven't got the energy anymore. When I was 21, I had the energy. I was alive and vibrant. But now I'm 172. I'm worn out, Lord. My legs don't work in the way they did. My hair's gone. And God says, just try again. Go further. Go deeper. Because there's something that's going to happen, that's going to blow your mind. So that all sounds easy, doesn't it? Everyone okay so far? That's easy, isn't it? Yeah? Everyone saying it's easy? No, I'm not getting many nods, but we'll keep trying. So, that dream that you've held on to, that dream that you looked after, that dream you kept hoping one day would happen. Are you prepared to live it now? That dream that you thought one day we're going to see revival happen and we're going to see people healed or we're going to see people delivered and we're going to see my friend who was a Christian that's left the church, they're going to be restored and they're going to be blessed. And that dream you've held on to that you thought was dead, are you ready to leave it again? Are you ready to do it? Because the first thing they did was they put their nets out and they got this amazing, mind-blowing catch. But people miss the second part of this story. Because the second thing they did was they beached the boats and followed Jesus. And that's the tough bit. You see, if I hang on to my boat, if nothing else, maybe something will happen. If I hang on to, and you can put in that little gap, whatever thing you think of, everything might just work out. But Jesus says, beach your boat, follow me. And a boat on the beach is just a lump of wood or a bathtub. It's of no good. In other words, you're giving up what you know to go for what Jesus is saying. Now here's the problem. If I said to you, you've got to give up sin, we'd all go, yeah, okay. Yeah. Got to give up doing things wrong. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think I could push it and say to Sally, give up scampi. And yeah, okay, if this is what God is saying, I can do that, you know. Are you ready to give up your hurt? Your brokenness? The damage that people have spoken over you. Because after a time, it can become a companion. And you can live with your damage. And you say, it's okay, I can live with this. My little brother, some of you saw him at Christmas, got Down syndrome. He's also deaf. And if David didn't want to do anything, not so much now because he's got dementia, but when he was younger, if he didn't want to do anything, he said, I can't. I'm deaf. And it would be something like Mum would say, David, do the washing up. I can't. Why not? I'm deaf. Church, do such and such. I can't. I'm useless. church, go in this direction. I can't, for I am sinful. That's what Peter said. Depart from me, I'm sinful. Do this. I can't because I did it before and I got burnt. Do this. I can't because last time I did that, the people let me down. I ended up being lonely and broken. And that can become a comfort. And it takes a strong decision to say, I'm going to beach my hurts, my wounds, my damage, the lies that I've believed, I'm going to beach them and I'm going to follow Jesus. That's tough, isn't it? Because something you've held on to all your life to let go is painful. Anybody here watch The Simpsons? Come on, admit it. Well, there's one issue where Homer Simpson has mental problems. And they discover that 30 years previously he'd stuck a crayon up his nose into his brain. And they removed the crayon and it made a difference. It didn't work in the end because he put it back. But how many of us have had stuff put on us and we've carried it? And we've held it up to Jesus and say, I can't do what you're calling me to do because... And what happens? We miss what Jesus is doing. And we carry on the same old, same old. But this is a new day, isn't it? And we're a new church. And it's going to be exciting, isn't it? This is yes, everybody, okay? Let's practice. This is yes, this is no, okay? But if we're going to be in a new church and it's a new day, we're going to have to decide to beach the past and get rid of it forever. That song, Deeper, Deeper, I want to go deeper. There's a verse when it says, yesterday's behind me. Yeah? Because we've got to make a choice. I can't choose for you, you can't choose for me. Nearly 3 years ago, some silly people in this church, there's only one person here, don't look at her, invited me to become the minister. Silly idea that was. Because I want to say I can't. Because of what happened, I don't want to. It's too painful. Now, do I beach that? Or do I miss what God is saying? No, I want what God's saying. I've got to beach it. My wife, if you ever speak to her, you say, would you come and be involved? And she'll always say the same thing. Two words. Ministry sucks. And every time God speaks to her about doing something, her answer is, ministry sucks. And she misses what God is doing because she's carrying this baggage that she's had for 20 years. And so many churches, when you say you're going to go deeper, they say, yeah, sounds good. Want more? Anyone here want more of God? Yeah, we all want more of God, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Yes, yes. Anyone want to see more of God? Yes, want to see more of God. Anyone want to experience more? Yes. That's the easy bit. Going deeper is easy. Beaching your boat is much harder. That's when it gets tough. Because if you've believed a lie all of your life, to now say, I'm not going to listen to that lie anymore, that's hard. How can you do that? After what you did? How can you think that after what you've been thinking? And we start getting hold of what Jesus did. See, Peter beaches his boat. Simon Peter follows Jesus. Does Peter get it right from then on? Nope. Does he make constant errors? Yep. Does he, the first time he makes an error, say, there, proves I'm no good, I'm only a fisherman, I'm going back to fishing? He goes up the mountaintop with Jesus. And it's wonderful. And he says, Jesus, let's make some little tabernacles, some little booths here. And what we could do, we could have a little holiday home. And we could have a little touristy gift shop. And we could have little models of the mountain with Jesus was transfigured here. And we could sell them, Lord, and we could make some real money. Jesus says, shut up. A bit later, the kids come to Jesus and Peter wants to tell them off. And Jesus says, Peter, close it. And then he denied Jesus. And he ran away. And what did he run back to? Fishing. He's gone back to his boat. And he's fishing. And suddenly someone says, who's that cooking those fish over there? Peter says, I know who that is. I'm not looking. It's Jesus. Yeah, I know. Still can't see him. Do you remember when you were a kid and you say, if I can't see you, you can't see me? Well, I imagine Peter on his boat saying, okay. So he goes to Jesus. Where do you find any condemnation of Peter? You don't. Where do you find any criticism of Peter? You don't. Where do you find any judgment of Peter? You don't. Where do you find anything against Peter? You don't. Because all of that stuff only comes from the enemy. What is the only question he asks Peter? Do you love me? What? After all I've done? Don't care. Do you love me? Oh yeah. Come on then, let's go. Put your boat down. Come on. Stop being stupid. Stop thinking that what that person said over you is true. I played football once, I've told you before. I played football a lot, but one particular game, this guy was trying to wind me up. And he came up to me and he looked me in the eye and he says, you're old and fat and bald. And I went, yep. And then I beat him and I got the ball. And I said, but I'm still faster than you. The enemy comes along and he says, you're old and you're fat and you're bald. And you go, yep. But through Christ I can do all things. You have nothing to say. And he says, yeah, but you failed in the past. Yeah? Guess what? I can win next time because I've got Jesus. You see, he's taking us to an exciting day. But we've got to put the boat up on the shore. The boat of all the baggage that you've carried for so long. Put it on the shore. And let's follow him and see what's going to happen. Scary? Yeah. Frightening? Yeah. Exciting? Yeah. But I tell you what, you'll be so overwhelmed by love. There'll be times we'll have to tie you down to stop you floating up to heaven. Who was it in the Old Testament? Got so close to God, in the end he just walked straight into heaven. Yeah. Just get closer. Get closer. Elisha says to Elijah, I don't know how, but I want double what you've got. And then he sees him being taken to heaven. Wow. And he says, I want double that. Whoo. You see, I've got to stop looking at the lies and start looking at the truth. I've got to stop believing lies that are spoken over me. We admit to our sins. We confess our sins. Jesus removes our sins and the stain of our sins. And we stand tall and free. The devil tries to pull us down. So let's put him in his place. Let's beach our boats. Let's go deeper in God and see what he has for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, our theme this morning is I want to go deeper. I want to know more of you than I've ever known before. I want to spend more time with you because I want to be out of my depth in your love. Father, we've spent so long being beaten down by religion and by accusations and by lies, and we've been weighed down with the burden of what rubbish people have put on us. Lord, this morning help us to make a decision to put that baggage on the shore, leave it there and follow you. Because Lord, first we want to go deeper. We want to experience the magnitude of who you are. And then Lord, we want to follow and walk and see the victory that you have for us. So Father, help us to confront ourselves. Help us to look at ourselves honestly and say, that which I've held on to, that which I've believed, is a lie. I'm not going to believe it any longer. Because Jesus says I'm better than that. Father, be with us. And just keep pouring out your Holy Spirit upon us. For your glory's sake. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of songs. One, maybe two. There's a note I put on here that said, the harvest is ready. Are we? That's the question. Because out there's a world that's being destroyed. I don't know about you, but I see some of the stuff that's going on and my heart just cries out. I mentioned last week, you know, a 6-year-old boy shooting his teacher. God help us. Families where they just don't care about their families. God help us. If not us, who? If not now, when? So the song we're going to sing to close, it says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because I want to see you. And if, as we sing this, some of what I've been saying has caused alarm bells or others to ring, just as we sing this song, and just come to the front and let someone pray with you. Don't go home carrying the baggage you've carried. Let someone pray with you and start to deal with this stuff. Because we want to be a church where people are free to follow and to see his glory. But let's stand together. Thank you. Thank you, Graham.
I want to see you.
We want to see you not just in church. We want to see you every day. We want to see your hand at work every day, wherever we are, wherever we go. May we take your very presence with us that shows you to the world. Because, Father, we want to see you high and lifted up with your glory that fills the temple. Father, be with us. Guard us, guide us, protect us. Fill us with more of you. And let your name be glorified. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.